Once again, you are welcome to Zion. The Bible says, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. That means there's a location where deliverance is accessible. It's upon Mount Zion, where the laws of God are made bare before men, where choices are put before men, and those that decide to choose the way of God, the devil loses every platform, every legal right to lay claim to their soul or any area of their life. Once again, you are welcome to Zion. The Bible says that upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. On Mount Zion shall be deliverance. There shall be holiness. And the reason why the Bible reveals that there will be holiness on Zion is that the people that come up to Zion will have to learn how to abide by the laws of God. That's the only basis of immunity. That's the only basis of insulation from the domain, the territory of darkness. More and more, we should subscribe to the kingdom of heaven. More and more, we should align with the government of God. More and more, we should seek to obey God. More and more, we should seek to walk by the dictates of His Spirit. Upon Mount Zion, it's a place of power. Everywhere the decrees of God are handled, and people humble their hearts in repentance and align with the word of God, the Bible says, there shall be deliverance. In a moment of time, just take out 2 minutes and give Him glory. Give Him praise for causing our eyes to be enlightened to the wonder of salvation. Many of us were trapped by the devil, held in chain and stuck, twisted, being bound, being torn, cut asunder. But Jesus came, He put us back together again, and He's making a strong nation out of you. Because the voice of the King proceeds from within you. And by you, the government of God will be established in different localities, different places. We give you glory for the wonder of salvation. For numbering us among the righteous. For causing our names to be proclaimed in the congregation inside. We give you glory and praise. Glory and praise. Glory and praise. In the name of Jesus. The devil is an elect spirit. Even when the law is against him, he does not quit. And so when you give your life to Christ, and you pass from darkness to light, many times when you give your life to Christ, some things break instantly. Some other things still remain that are not part and parcel of your allotment in the kingdom of God. And what is happening is that the claims of darkness are still effective. And you see, there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. We access the kingdom of God as a wide sphere of a plane of divine life. That people are welcomed into on the account of their accepting the work of Jesus Christ. But some other wise men decide to go further. They go beyond salvation. And by an act of their will, they choose the kingdom, the place. They choose to come under the dominion of God. That's the difference between a normal Christian and a consecrated Christian. The consecrated Christian is a man that has decided to separate himself unto God. That's holiness. Hallelujah. Separation unto God. That your life will be revealed in the pathway where you have decided to serve God's will. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. That you not make God a part of your life, but you make Him the center of your life. That's a decision. And that's different from salvation. Salvation brings you into the realm of the divine life. But after you are saved, you have to make a choice. That I'm going to live my days to serve His will. That's another level altogether. If all you have and all you know is salvation, you seek God as an errand boy that you send out to bring your husband, to bring your wife, to bring you. But if you have gone a step further and you want to function in the kingdom of heaven, you have decided to separate yourself unto the rule, the dominion of God to serve His will. That's a higher level. At that point in time, the jealousy of God will not allow the devil plunder you. And even if there's still a legal ground that the devil is still exploring in your life, you are sentenced to a time of probation. A time of probation. The reason why sometimes there's a time of probation is because of the claims of divine justice and the anchorage of that claim. And so God allows the devil a time to bring you under pressure so that your life and your destiny will be decided by your choice. He brings you under pressure. You're under pressure to go back to your old sins, but you say, no way. God, if I'm going to die, let me die at your feet. Under pressure to begin some strange things that are violation to the laws of God. You say, no way. If I die, let me die at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. Once and again, when you satisfy this period of probation, the legal right that the devil has will be withdrawn. Because by an act of choice, you have decided to follow God. That's beyond salvation. You gave your life to Christ, but now you want to serve God's will. You don't want to do your own agenda again. Because if you are still doing your own agenda, the devil will still have right of way. But when you decide that you want to live to serve God's will, God takes responsibility for your actions because he's the one that sends you on errand. And that's why sometimes there's a time of probation before some claims can be taken away. That's the way it works in the courts of heaven. Sometimes salvation brings you liberty to some strongholds. Some other times, your resilience in pledging your life to the kingdom of heaven to serve the will of God on a perpetual basis, even when subjected to a test, God brags on you. The devil says, give me an occasion. And he received permission to come and plunder you. And you, in the midst of the fiercest of attacks, of temptations, of trials, you still say like Job, I don't know what's wrong with my health. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why a ball sprang out of my body. But one thing I know is I know that my Redeemer liveth. By an act of your will, you have decided your own destiny. And you have decided to join yourself to God so that you have a common union with God. Wherever God goes, I go. Whatever is of God is for me. And the devil loses his right to be able to plunder. I pray that your faith will stand strong even when it is tested by fire in the name of Jesus Christ. And right now we need to ask the question. Are you like milk or are you like wine? Milk gets spoiled with time. Wine gets better with time. We need Christians that are like wine. Too many milk Christians. A little pressure and they opt out. A little pressure, they throw in the towel. We need men of reckless faith. Men like Elijah that can rebel against the devil. Friends, another generation will have to answer the questions that lie amidst us. Men of rugged faith, we need to arise and rebel against the devil. And so the devil might receive permission on the account of his legal right. He stirs up a herbalist in the village to put pressure upon you, to bring reproach upon you for his sister. But you refuse to give up. You keep pressing. You keep going on. You don't know how long, but you know God is a better choice than the devil. And you keep going on, keep pressing. There is a scale of divine judgment and justice that God is looking upon. And he gave the devil a yardstick to apply some pressure during the time of probation. Please do not back out in that time. Because the Bible says that the sufferings of this present time is nothing to be compared. If you logically weigh them in the balances, it's nothing to be compared. Do not give in to the suffering. Do not give in to the pain. The Christian life sometimes, God allows some pain. If you understand the metrics of the Spirit, you know why he allowed it. Because of the way the Spirit realm is structured. Because of the legal system of that realm. And you need to pay a price to break something that somebody paid the price to establish. And if you are the one that God has chosen to deliver your family from the hold and the curse, I assure you, you will pay a price for a time. God is a custodian of the just scales of judgment. He is the one that determines the claims of divine justice. So that in a case, in a situation, in a scenario, your obedience to God will break the backbone of the enemy. You know, these days, the faith, these days of psychological faith and make believe and confessions without foundation. Many people believe it is out of place in the Christian life for you to suffer. I heard a bishop preach the other time. He said, Jesus suffered it all. We are called to inherit everything that his suffering produced. Excuse me. He said, Jesus uttered the path of salvation. And if in fulfilling God's call for his life, he had to suffer, he had already recalibrated everything. And anyone that fulfilled God's will for his life, whisper it to your enemy. You will suffer too. I'm not saying you suffer because you stole. You suffer because you laid hand on a lady and they took you to the police station. I'm not saying you suffer because you shouted where you were supposed to be quiet. And something was laid upon you to quieten you. I'm talking about a man that decides to serve the will of God. He finds some pressures. He finds some weights. He finds some stuff beyond his understanding. But he decides in the midst of the quagmire, I know my Redeemer liveth. Rejoiner said that when Christians are put under pressure and they still keep going on and they refuse to give in, that even angels look and they wonder, what kind of man is this? Those rugged men from the backside of the desert, like Elijah the Tishbite. The name of his father was not mentioned. His village was not recognized. He was known by his faith and his ministry, because the Tishbite means the messenger. We need men whose identity will be most described by the message and by their lifestyle, by their faith and by their power. Rainmakers that can change the climate and bring a new atmosphere. These are men that have found power with God and men that have prevailed over the oppression of the devil. I need new ranks in the spirit. I need a new rating from heaven. And before you receive a new rating, you will go through a strange process. Tap your brother and say, don't die now. The light is yonder. And I want to get there. Somebody shout hallelujah. I believe God that in the days in which we live, nameless people, faceless people, people that were not known to preach, all their family members served the devil. God will raise sons and daughters out of them and put crown grace upon their lives. It's time for us to put the devil to shame, the memory of the idols and the wizards in the territory. Let's make them a team of the past. I know my Redeemer liveth. He's coming to save you. The Bible says, say unto them that are of a weary heart, he will come. He will come and save you. So he that moves under the strain of persecution, he says, say to him, he will come. He that is under the hold of weights of darkness, the Assyrian's rod has afflicted him. Encourage him with these words. He will come and save you. He will come. 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 We were locked up in the wilderness. There was no possibility of any difference. The darkness was thick darkness. It was as if someone placed a bitter curse upon us. We said, we don't understand why we are here. We don't know why people die in the family anyhow. But we have decided that if we die, we will die holding your feet. If we die, we will die singing your praise. I was afflicted with all kinds of diseases. I say, it's not, I will not be the first to die if I die. But if I die, I will die with style. Saying Jesus. Saying Lord. I didn't know that some things were being weighed in the realm of the spirit. The Bible speaking about Joseph. He said, about Jacob, he said, like a prince hast thou power with God and hast prevailed. A change of ranking. Suddenly strength came. All the afflictions were healed. Suddenly anointing came. And I began to understand the mysteries of God. Please tell your neighbor, the journey will not end here. Oh my God, oh my God, it will not end here. Satan is still laughing, so the journey will not end. Until you come to the other side, the claims of darkness are withdrawn. Your obedience in the courts of God has predestined you as a prince. You have found power with God, and you have prevailed.
That's when you have the stature to come and say, I speak by the mouth of God, because by experience, you have what? Prevail. Enough of dry, cheeky Christians without experience in God. We need men that have stature. Men that have match. The match of fighting. The match of, oh my God. I'll tell you in a short while, the place that are known for the worship of darkness shall receive new visitors. Men that speak a new language, they belong to a new tribe, they dance to the beat of a different drummer, they pledge their allegiance to a different flag. Thou shall arise, the Bible says, and have mercy upon that people, for the time to favor her. Set time is come. Friends, there's a set time. There's a set time when darkness becomes light. There's a set time when the noonday sun comes to shine. And it shines upon your face to reveal you to your generation. Hallelujah. Weeping may endure for the night. But joy comes in the morning. Tell your neighbor, weeping may endure. You see, when joy comes, you forget that you were weeping. Because you are a prince. You have found power. Found power with God. Hallelujah. It's not hopeless. It's not helpless. But there is yet a generation that must speak for God. So that the equation will be balanced. I salute you. This journey that we have embarked upon is a fierce journey of the spirit. But it is in this journey that princes are forged. People that defy the enemy. They rebelled against the devil. I know there's some crisis in the home right now. Rebel against the devil. I know there are some problems right now. The finances are not, they waver. For long times, the hand is dry. Don't worry. You can still rebel against the devil. I know that once and again, strange sickness comes upon you. As if you bathe in affliction. You can still rebel against the devil. Job was naked. He had boils on his body. He was afflicted silly. He could only lie on ashes and on his back. But in that seemingly defeated posture, he looked to the sky and he saw that the three northern stars were perpetually in their place and nothing could move them out of their alignment and their orbit. He said, I know. What do you know? Everything might be out of place, but there's something that God holds in place just so that you will know. I know my Redeemer. I know. Somebody make that a confession. I know. I know. I don't know about you, but I know. The circumstances may not suggest so, but I know. I know. It's as if I was born in a bad family. Everybody under the limitations of the devil. When you look around, there's more reasons for you to be afraid than for you to be in faith. But I know that my Redeemer lives. That's a faith that burns with fire. It is tested in the furnace of affliction. It comes out like gold. It installs princes, men that speak for God. And when the devil comes and sees the track record and the scars, he moves out. Because this one has been tried. Now, do not fail when you are tried. The Bible says, he that falleth in the day of adversity, it is because his strength is small. Now, we have to go back to our Bible study. You know, I feel like going on, but there's a syllabus here. I was not almost preaching. I was almost soaring. My God. I was about to take a flight in God. But we have to come back. I know. I just got home. I wanted to rest for 30 minutes and my eyes opened. I saw Eagles Christian Conference. That was the name. Eagles Christian Conference. I saw people from different nations, men of fire. They have fire in their bones, pepper in their chromosomes. Such men, I saw them coming in. Something massive began to take place in this land. Even the devil is not strong enough to put that out. Ah, there is a lamp. There is a lamp, a light that the devil can't quench. Keep it burning. That's the light fired in by your spirit. That's the spark of God that is lit on your inside. He cannot quench that lamp. By the illumination thereof, you can navigate your way. Even in the midst of darkness, you can see fine. Find your path. Eagles Christian Conference. The Lord will help us. Hallelujah. All right, I said that in the evening I will show us some things. And there are two ways by which demons can be identified. Demons can be identified by the territory that they operate. And so you find that there are several demons do not want to be casted out of some regions. And so you will find demons pleading with Jesus, cast us into the swine so that we can still remain in the territory. Are you still with me? Demons are territorially based. Demons that operate in Makurdi cannot just decide to start operating in Kaduna except a demon has secured a legal ground and invites them to come and be part of his gang. Spirit realm is legalistic. The Bible is straight about these things. And if we study more carefully, you will understand how that realm operates. And so you find some demons begging, do not cast us into the swine, let's remain in the territory. And if you are into crusades, there are some people that are called Charlies. These are people that attend crusades not because they want to give their life to Christ, but they attend crusades so that when demons are casted out, they receive them. So in a Charlie, you can find up to 2,000 demons. In a Charlie, you can find up to 12,000 demons. You know, the madman of Gadara said, my name is Legion because we are many. And you know, the word Legion is not new. It's a Roman military term describing a garrison of 6,000 to 12,000 soldiers. If it's more than 12,000, then they begin to form a different legion. So those days in the Roman Empire, they had 9 legions. The first legion, Phoenix Legion, the second legion. And they give each legion a name of an animal. They had up to 9 legions to show you how strong their army was. Are you following that? And the demon said, my name is what? It's Legion. And the madman of Gadara was a Charlie. When demons are casted out, they come to what? Absorb them. And many mighty men of God found Charlies like that in crusades. Charlies, he can actually change his character 5 times before you now. Can talk like a woman, talk like a man, talk like a cat, talk like a dog, talk like... Just now, he can just... Different demons can give expression to different kinds of demons. Those right now in US and London, people pay money to come and see Charlie's display. But that thing that they are doing is just giving expression to different demons. You get it? And the reason for that kind of technology is so that some demons can be kept within certain territories. They don't want to be driven out, because if they go to another territory, it may take time before they will find a legal ground to possess a man. Do you understand that? And I told you yesterday that if demons do not possess something, they suffer. So sometimes they possess trees and make those trees portals. Do you understand what I'm talking about? I said demons can possess trees. And when they do so, they make those trees portals. When people are holding witchcraft meetings, they host them in those trees where demons possess. Do you get it? Okay, let me give you a test. I found this one on the field. I don't have any scripture to back it up. What can I give you? Have you seen all those trees that black birds normally perch on in the evening and cry? They are portals. They are covens. They have demons inside of them. I brought that from the field. We noticed that in a particular police barrack where we were staying, those strange birds used to come upon some trees like that. And while we were praying one evening, we felt led of the Holy Spirit to go and pray and anoint them and close the gate. What did we do? Pray. We did what? Anoint. Then we what? Close. You will not believe what happened thereafter. We wanted to hold a crusade. So we went around all those trees that the black bears used to perch upon and cry in the evening time. Prayed upon them, anointed them, closed the doorways. Few days to the crusade, they wrote us a letter and said, since you close our door, let us meet on the crusade ground. You close our door? All right. We will come to your own domain now. You have made us restless. No place to dwell. So, we are coming. Make plans for us. Buy extra seats. We'll be there. In Jesus' name. When they sent the letter, I was actually afraid. You know, I can say the truth now, you know. I sent the first preacher. You go preach this now. So that if somebody will die, let it start from there. Go preach. You know, preachers are actually not always in faith, you know. Amen. I said, you go preach. I'll support with prayers. What I meant was, you are better to be slain. And after observing the crusade diligently, everything went as planned. I said, they didn't come to the altar. I went to my friend, he's a prophet. That's my friend. I said, tomorrow is your time. All right? Make sure you see everything there. Because there will be much to see. In Jesus' name. I'll give you support from the back. So, he went and preached. Nothing happened. So, when I saw that nothing happened, I went and put my white suit. Like Benny Hinn. You know, those days I wanted to be like Benny Hinn. You know? Even now, I still want to be like him. But I had white suit in keeping with the order. Yes, of Benny Hinn. I had white suit. So, I put it on that night. I glided into the crusade ground. That was the day that they came. The Lord gave you understanding. Preached a very strong evangelical message. Gave an altar call. 500 people came out to give their life to Christ. Half of this number were possessed. They didn't come to give their life to Christ. They came to see me so that our eyes would jam, so that they would bewitch me on the pulpit there. So when I came to lead them to Christ, I held the microphone and said something that we don't get to say when leading people to Christ. I said, fire. I don't know where I came from. Now, how will you come to lead people to Christ and begin with what? With fire. And when I said fire, about 120 people started manifesting. I've never seen deliverance like that on massive scale like that time. Boom! It was like a bomb went out. All kinds of manifestation. And our intercessory crew were quite a number those days that formed the crew, about 20 to 30 people, well fired. The things I used to teach them, there was enough practical that day. You see one like frog. All kinds of casted out devils from 9 o'clock to 11:30, and there was headache because of stress. All kinds of things. But the potter that the devil used for preaching that territory was what? Closed. That was what happened. Death, strange death stopped in that place. Strange miscarriages stopped. All kinds of things stopped. And it was as if the rain of God came down. And that's why an evangelist is not qualified to be an evangelist if he does not know how to expel demons. Hallelujah. Come with me in the Bible. Let's move. I have 8 verbs here that will give you insight into whether demons are in operation around your life or in the lives of other people. Are you still with me? I say, are you still with me? Amen. Number one, verbs. You know, I said I use verbs because a verb is a doing word, it's an action word. It reveals an activity, an action. So I use those verbs so that we can identify them by their actions. Are you following now? Okay. Number one, demons and ties. Demons and ties. Now, all the seats there are finished. Amen. Come and take some from here. At least take four. Four from here. Let them have a place to sit. And ushers, go around, get all the extra seats from the office. If you are a minister in the crowd, I need two ministers to come. Two ministers in the crowd, at least you can leave your, make your seat vacant and then sit here. Two ministers in the crowd, all right? Sit on my seat. Leave your seat vacant. We have two seats here. You can sit down. Amen. So that your seat can be vacant. Hallelujah. Two ministers. Any seat left? Chris, Pastor Chris, you can come here. Sit close to my wife. Okay? So that your seat can be vacant for somebody to sit down. I don't like seeing people standing. Hallelujah. Now, so ushers, you direct them to the empty seats. Let them sit. And the media people, you are trained to stand so you can stand and give your seat out. I don't know what a media man will be doing sitting down. That's not your calling. Okay, you get back to the field and leave your seat for somebody else. All right. Number one, demons and ties. Okay. Demons do what? Entice. By enticement, they are trying to attract your attention. Get your attention to consider something that you don't get to normally consider. Enticement. Create a spark around you. See, demons can talk. They can speak. They are persons without bodies. As you are passing on campus in BSU, then he brings you to your notice a young damsel that is passing by. Say, how about this one? You were bubbling in tongues and thinking of glory. And then he just enticed you so that he can catch your attention and show you some. All right? Now you must take note. When your attention is being caught and is being focused on something that you know is not within the scope of that which is allowable in the kingdom of God. Are you still with me here? I say, are you with me here? Now, you see, if as a preacher, amen, if as a preacher you don't know how to get renewal, very soon you'll soon be struck down. Because when you go preach, you might come back and you need an overhaul. There are some times when you come back from the field, you need to quit preaching for 2 weeks. And focus on you. Maybe new lusts have been born. New kind of stuff is beginning to find expression in your life. Stop preaching. Close down for 2 weeks. Get back to your intensive care unit. You need to run prayers 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours for 3 days. With fasting, you break by 6 o'clock and check yourself and flex your spiritual muscles again and see that your heart is rid of lust, and rid of covetousness, rid of everything that makes you backslide in your heart. And then you come back to form. If you don't do that regularly, you cannot be accurate regularly. Very soon a spirit is going to employ your powers and use your powers to adorn the kingdom of darkness. I've seen people use the prophetic gift as a means to steal. Now, the truth is this, we must preserve the integrity of the ministry of Jesus that has been handed over to us in this generation. So many guys do so many things on the pulpit. And you see, that God is coming to judge and to clean up his church. So I sound an alarm. Hallelujah. In any capacity that you are a Christian leader, maybe on campus and all of that, when you notice that there is something drawing your affection to something that you know is not God. Amen. It's time for checkup. If you lose your virtue of sincerity, you'll be overtaken by demons. Hallelujah. Preacher started preaching a message, wonderful message, and just going. And then suddenly his message shifted. What did he say again? He said, if somebody claims to know how to hear God, check his car. That guy has gone out of the Bible. He's giving voice to a demon spirit. But you don't know when people shift. It's possible for you to be a fountain that is not sanctified. And you can speak for God in 25 minutes and speak for the devil in 5 minutes. And at the end of the service, people don't know what they believe again because many fountains were projected. The other day, a man came and said his own angel is called Jasper. And he said, if you want to marry, why are you not exposing your legs, sister? And that's what he preached that fervently for about 1 hour. Then he said, now, miracle service, miracle. Laid hands on somebody and stone came out of the head. That man is not of God. It is possible for somebody to be anointed of God and then drift into the occultic. That's the case study of Saul. Started well, but that which began in God can also be corrupt eventually. If it does not depend on God as much as it did before, in order for him to receive and to deliver and to be empowered by God, demons can take over. But they don't start with a roar. They start by what? Enticing. Enticement is a satanic formula, a satanic recipe of presenting a product to you. Presenting what? A product. And then see if you'll be interested. The devil doesn't know the area of your weakness. Doesn't know the area of your lust. So he comes with products and comes to entice. The Bible says that when any man is tempted, let him not say, is tempted by God. For every man is tempted when it is, he is drawn in his own lusts and enticed. Hey! That scripture makes us to understand that the lust is not from the devil. The lust is his own lust. Yes, it was the devil, a spirit of lust that came. Alright? And the man did not consider his state to be a state that needs intensive care. Do you understand that? He harbored the loss. He pampered it. Put cushion for it. Is that not his loss? He likes it. Yes, the devil came with that loss. But he decided to receive it. And to what? To harbor it. And to what? Keep it. And to incubate it. He said, that's the way a man is drawn away. In his own lust. When he's enticed in the area of his lust. That's how sin is born. So the man had to do something to maintain that lust. That's number one. You must see that. Then the devil now came and enticed him along the lines of his lust. That's when the man now sinned. And the Bible revealed that it takes a gestation period to be involved in a conscious sin. He said when sin is full grown, gives birth to. No, that's not where it started. When what? Lust is full grown, gives birth to sin. That's gestation period. If a man carries out an act of sin, there was a buildup of lust which he refused to renounce because he lost his sense and his virtue of sincerity. Do you get it now? That's the only way lust can build up and become an act. When it becomes an act, there's accusation inside. The government of God makes you feel uneasy because of that action, which is contrary to the teachings of God and the instructions of God. Now, many people go back, reasonable people will go back to God and say, I'm sorry, I repent, I renounce it, I will not go back to it again. But several people are not hard on sin in their lives. They just go back and say, yes, we have access to the blood of Jesus. And then they still open some part of the door for some possibility, maybe because of the fire. You know, when somebody wants, is expecting fire outbreak, he leaves his door small so that it will be easy for him to escape. That's how people are with respect to sin. They don't get to close the door and say, no more. They are liberal with it. If you know what you are toiling with, you will know that there's no gray area in the kingdom of God. It's either you are for God absolutely, and you say so by an act of your will. That attempt to be liberal is actually a state of backsliding in your heart. So the devil normally comes to entice you when he sees that you are harboring a lust inside. So demons do what? Entice. If you are a preacher and it's as if the financial situation is stringent, be careful. Keep praying. Because the devil will try to use that atmosphere to sow a seed of covetousness into your heart. And then you now come and see another preacher riding on CRV Honda. Say, my God. And you look at your shoe. And suddenly, the devil begins to speak to you because you have already created a ground which is not consistent with the laws of God. The laws of the Spirit say, they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. God, I'm dealing with God on my own scale. You are dealing with God on your own scale. It is not accurate for you to use my scale to judge your life. Because you don't know my scale. And that's why the Bible says, who art thou that thou judgest another man's servant? Before his master, he stands or falls. I have a call to bring order and to also reveal heresies and errors. That's, I have a personal call along that line. And when I carry out this call, I don't point people, I point doctrines and errors. Do you understand that? We accept the brother to be part of the body of Christ, but we reject that thing he brought, which is contrary to Scripture. You see that? You are a good brother, but this thing you preach now is not the Bible. You gave voice to the spirit of error because the Scriptures have convicted you that you are on a path that is slippery. Do you get it? I'm not speaking about the man, but speaking about that which came from the man, which is not consistent with the word of God. If you compare yourself with another man and use his own success as the yardstick to measure whether you are successful or not, you are already out of line with the unique path of spiritual progress that God has put you. And the devil knows how to do that through circumstances and situations. If your heart is weak, and if you have not yet found security in God, it's very easy for you to use another man's life as a template to judge your life. And it is easy for you to now move into the flesh to try to prove that you are not failing. Anytime people yield to the spirit of competition, watch it, there's a spirit close by. The spirit of competition is an act of the flesh. But it remains there. Very soon, it will receive empowerment from the kingdom of darkness to make that his own way of ministry, his own style. Enticement. Uses your circumstances, your situation, and your lust as a means of enticing you so that there is a minor angular deviation from the path of spiritual progress, and the devil now has access to your soul. He can now give you counsel and suggestions. That's how great people were turned out of the way. Once in a while, you need to run a checkup on yourself. And I advise once every month, a checkup. Ebenezer, where are you? Where's my friend? She's at the back. When last did you check yourself up in the spirit to see if you are okay? check up. This is not public prayer. This is me under God, allowing the radar to put me on the spotlight. Here am I. Reveal my tongue if there's error in it, if there's deceit in it, if there's darkness in my heart locking there. Because the Bible says, who can understand these errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. When last did you do this to God and say, see me? No checkup. When last did you run a checkup? I know you pray very well, but do you do checkup? Not corporate prayer, personal prayer, and you put yourself under the scale and allow God to pick out anything that is on the path of departure. Do you do that? You do it? Okay, I believe you. Hallelujah. Check up once a month. Check up. Let him try the reins. The Bible says, I am the Lord that tryeth the reins, that the fibers of your heart. I check it. But we must give him the opportunity to do that. Because he will challenge your holiness. He will challenge your righteousness. He will talk about the way you use your eye. That lust has already captured the potential of sight. And right now, when you look upon a man, you see much more than normal people see. Because some you are seeing through the eye of lust. You need a checkup. Tell your neighbor you need a checkup. But smile so that they will know. You need some. You need a checkup. In the name of Jesus. The higher you go, the more careful you need to become. Run frequent checkups. If not, your name will be on the newspaper. The devil will allow you to rise and he will cut you down. And then the punch will pick it. Another preacher in scandal. And the thing will sell. So you need frequent checkups where you just go bare before God and say, here am I. I know Christians don't do that anymore. The old saints used to do it. Check up. Check up by holding onto the horns of the altar until he enlightens, he lights our candle and enlightens our darkness. That was the prayer of David. Thou will light my candle, thou will enlighten my darkness. That was it. Do you pray that kind of prayer? I want you to enlighten. Do you still pray that kind of prayer? You don't do check up. You just wake up in tongues. Babo Santa Baboria. Mabalate. I'm strong. I'm healed. I go to conquer. I go to overcome. Everybody goes out of their ways to be a blessing to me. I'm the head. Not the tail. Above. Not beneath. I have two intercontinental ballistic missiles that can take two cities. That's psychology. Come back and go to the intensive care unit for checkup. You might find a yam that God implanted. And the Bible says every tree that my heavenly Father has not planted needs to be what? Something as big as a yam tuber locking around. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' mighty name. You need to run frequent checkups so that you know what kind of enticements are being brought to your heart. And how much have they been able to possess your soul? I know that God prospers people. It is in the Bible that God is the Spirit of God is the original Spirit that makes men get wealth. Amen? But Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. He said that he hates one and serve the other. Then he now brought what was in his mind. You cannot serve God and money. It means that the same way money, God attracts human worship. Money can attract human worship. And if the preaching of prosperity is not balanced, mammon possesses people's soul. And the average Christian doesn't go for checkup and he just goes large, speaking the language of covetousness, a language of mammon. He makes money his unique goal, and corruption begins to find expression in his soul. Once he had something original, but very soon, over 10 years, 15 years, you see that the quality of what he's running with now is not as tenacious, as accurate, as dense, as witty as that which he had 5 years ago. Because these are gradual adjustments that enticement has been able to establish. And the average Christian is not sincere enough to see between the lines and the lies. And to come to that point where we allow God to try the reins. fibers of our heart, so that everything that is not within the context of God's covenant, he can fish it out and enlighten our darkness. Number two, demons utter the entice. Demons can harass. This one is more aggressive. It's more aggressive. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Now, as people keep coming in, let our men stand up. Let the people coming in sit down, especially the ones with babies. Sit down so that our men, you stand up. Give your seat as an offering. And like a good soldier of Christ, stand up. The Bible says, having done all, stand. And I tell you, when you are standing, even in the physical, you are closer to standing, because the understanding of standing is already in your environment. Lord, give you understanding. In the name of Jesus. Demons do what? Harass. That one has pressure. Enticement is trying to see what you will call it. Are you interested? Do you care for this? My pastor in Abuja, he went to Turkey. Somebody knocked the door and said, do you care for a Turkish woman? A Turkish damsel? Do you care? That's enticement. He doesn't know your disposition. Doesn't know your mood. Doesn't understand your emotional template. Doesn't have insight into your faith. But he came with business. Are you by any means? You are not too sure. We didn't see you praying when you came in. So, do you lie? What? A Turkish woman. You know? The devil is interesting. He speaks your language. Especially when you are weak. In the flesh. You're thinking like a natural man. He shows up and says, hey! That's how enticement is. From afar. From a distance. Comes into your corridor. Tries to break into your wall. Tries to shift your attention. Your eyes are too straight. You are looking on God too much. You can have the liberty of turning your neck this side and turning your neck that side. It gives you a world view, a perspective that is more global. Hallelujah. But in harassment, he doesn't give you a choice. He haunts you with it. In the dream, he brings the product. In the natural, he displays it. Those days, they said the way of holiness was that you should not watch television. So somebody builds a big mansion, but there's no television. It's a devil's box. Satan dwells there. Until we came on campus and found out that the things you see as images on television, we had live versions, and there was a response to touch. Malando. These versions can respond to what? To touch. The ones in the TV, they are dummies. If you touch them, but these ones are more active. We found out that was religion. He did not separate anybody to God. He only created critics that were carnal. Carnal and judgmental and sinful too. Because it makes you focus on you as a driving force. But the true secret of holiness is that you focus on Christ, and as you keep walking with him and walking with the Holy Spirit in full surrender, he shows you this area, you present it to him, and you keep following him. The moment you look at yourself and say, hey, I'm here, you will fall into sin. Because the insufficiencies of your humanity will come instantly on display. Men that understand the way of the Spirit have decided to stick with grace, because without grace, we die. Are you still with me? Sorry, I'm not a pastor, so I can't make it better. I can't make it sweet. I can't make it systematic. I come from the order of preachers that are not too refined, so that truth in its raw state can be brought upon your heart. Many people have hated me for this kind of thing. Went somewhere and preached, and they say, go. I thought they were joking. Say, what? Go! It was not the devil that they casted out. It was me. Makandebo Sayama. When you go to preach, go with your transport money. So that when you deliver and they check you out of the hotel in the night, book the next one. And say, I'm in town for holiday. I'm on vacation. Invite a man all the way from Lagos and drive him in the night. Pay for the next room. And do all night and enjoy the land. Plant a seed of prayer there because he will still come back. Hallelujah. Harassment is more tenacious. Seeks your soul. It comes into the realm of your dreams. Comes into the realm of the natural. And every attempt you make to use any physical thing to shut the door, switch off the phone, close the television. When you peep through the window, you see response to touch. Somebody was praying and fasting, and every time he decided to take a stroll, he saw a naked woman. He just wanted to stroll in tongues, just beheld. He prayed on the bed, prayed, and he woke up just to look outside, saw a naked woman. Hey, that's what harassment. He must make you see what he wants you to see. It will take 10 minutes to bind the thought and bring it into alignment. Because when he's praying in tongues, the thing will drift. He said, Kai! Harassment. There's some pressure there. Whenever you see that, bind a devil, cast it out. Kai! Go! Well, how did you come here? And then you will not find rest. You're harassed, speak to something. You're enticed. Jesus spoke to so many. He spoke to trees, spoke to wind. It's high time you learn how to speak to stuff. Speak to things. Hey! Go back. Fasted, dry fasting, wanted to go out, saw a naked woman, he ran back. He stayed on the bed, prayed, he saw another one. Hey! Open the television. Harassment. And when you see it happen like that, you need to point and say, I know you. Fasting to Saul, but the harassment made him to remain on the ground for 3 days. The Lord give you understanding. I know you don't experience it. You just... You move. But you must know how to speak to things. Number 4. Demons torment. 3, sorry. Demons do what? Torment. That's more aggressive. In my experience as a pastor, my 18 years in the practice of ministry, I found out that one of the roots upon which torment is established is unforgiveness. Many Christians know how to keep this excess baggage of unforgiveness. They say, people hurt me when I was 5 years old. Hurt me when I was 21 years old. Somebody abused me, molested me. And then there's unforgiveness packed up there. And every time you want to press into the spirit, as if the spirit say, where did they go? Me and you gave for granted. Because there's unforgiveness. Can you sit back in the moment and forgive people? Forgive people. Just let them go. In 5 minutes, in your prayer, forgive them. Your husband dealt with you terribly. And you let him go. Somebody came and stole your virginity at the age of 9. And has been threatening you that if you let it out, I'll kill. You have been in fear. And that fear has transcended. It has opened the door to great insecurity inside. In order for the Holy Spirit to go and effect a healing, you must begin the process by forgiving. The next 5 minutes, I'd like you to forgive everybody. The ones that mistreated you, that abused you, that used you. Can you forgive? Can you pray? Can you pray? 5 minutes. I found out it's easy to preach, but it's hard to forgive. It's easy to preach, it's hard to say sorry. Because there's a stronghold that wants to stop you from saying sorry. Wants you to remain in a state where you can be accessible by darkness and demons. Tonight, I want you to be gallant. As you let go them that offended you, and be new and clean on the inside, without any hold, any twisting, any torture, and any turning. Let them go. Let us pray as a congregation. Release people. Release your husband. Release people that cheated you, so that you will not be tied down. You will not be kept crippled on the ground. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them go. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. In torment, it's as if the devil twists, tortures, cripples, and binds. You smile, you wear your smile, but there's death on the inside because there's torture. Every time the devil tortures you, it's because there is something you are holding back on. If you can let that thing go, you can cast out that devil. I say, you crippling, torturing, binding, and twisting spirit, I command you to go, because there's no more ground for that spirit to continue. You see that? Hallelujah. Let me stop there and still, this torment, I need to still take it deeper. Now, see, torment actually exists in three levels. The physical torment. Have you been under some kind of pain that you could not resist? Something like arthritis. Now, all the women that have delivered children here, let me see your hand up. You are blessed. Now, you see, when labor comes, I hope you know you can't bind it. It has its own mind. The labor has its own mind. It doesn't synchronize with your faith. Amen. But you see, because labor is exclusive to women, the men here, the guys here, cannot relate with it. So we need a general example. Like, if you have ever had pains of arthritis, it's physical torment. It just doesn't go. It's locked up in the bones. You can't press your flesh and make you feel better. It's just locked up. You can't touch it. You can't affect it. You can't stop it. That's torment. And every time there's torment like that, it's most likely it is the handiwork of a demon. If you identify torment, you can cast the spirit out. You get it? Secondly, we can also have mental torment, like fear. Mental torment. Somebody is just afraid of the unknown. That's torment. It's an experience that a believer should not have. You need to cast out a spirit and understand where the fear is coming from and address it. Are you still with me? Is there anybody in the congregation here? You have this fear of the unknown. You can just come under fear instantly. Let me see your hand. All right? We need to cast out the spirit of fear. Because fear has torment. There's emotional torment. Went into a relationship, you didn't consult God. Just say the guy is tall, he has a blood test, open teeth and biceps. Hallelujah. If you experience a heartbreak, go and report to a very senior man of God. Let him help you. Because devils are looking for such opportunities where you are vulnerable. You are weak. For something to come and begin to seek to take advantage of that opening, that crack. Then somebody comes and breaks your heart like that. And then for a long time, you are not yourself. What you need is healing. And many people are not humble enough to subject themselves to the process by which healing in God comes. Healing in God doesn't come on the streets. It comes when you are consistent with God. Opening yourself up to Him perpetually practicing intercession and consistent praying, where you are praying for the will of God to be done in higher matters beyond yourself, one day you just find out that God has sealed the rift that the devil has been playing upon. But people don't like process. They like wait and take. An evangelist will come and see a lady that used 12 years to construct an evil pattern in her line. You come from Abuja and prophesy, restoration! And everybody say, oh, you have denied me. Everybody say what? And the guy goes back. And he doesn't tell you that restoration is a process. And your life remains the same because restoration is a process. The thing you have constructed in your life in 12 years, God will break it and reorganize you, reorient you. And most people are not humble to stay under the mighty hand of God so that He can heal them and restore all their fortunes. In order for you to receive restoration from God, you must be humble enough to stay under the mighty hand of God. You must be humble enough to be accountable to a pastor, a man of God, somebody that you know that knows God. See, this is where I'm starting today, but I need healing from God. Then He puts you in the way of prayer. Sees your sincerity in prayer. Sees your tenacity in seeking God. And then as the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in operation, and you are ministered to consistently, a time comes when healing comes inside. It's as if you are made new again. The impact of the heart is no longer present. Are you still with me? You are a new man inside. And the devil knows he has lost another ground for his tricks. Do not go too long with wounds without submitting so that it can be open to the healing of God. Finally, we have spiritual torment. Spiritual torment, the name of spiritual torment is called accusation. Accusation. And the devil comes and brings a picture. The devil is a photographer. In 1985, when he wanted to steal, he snapped a picture. In 2002, you touch a lady on the breast. And then you become a pastor and you're standing before a congregation you wanted to. Then you'll say, Kai. See the exhibit. The Lord give you understanding. You have to confront that spirit. Because if you committed a crime and you ask Jesus for forgiveness and you forsake that way, it no longer exists in the spirit realm. But you may not know. You need to address it and say, you were not in the court the day I was discharged and acquitted. The judge pronounced me discharged and acquitted. I don't know what you are doing with these pictures. These are old pictures. Meanwhile, don't come again. If not, I'll do something. He will leave you. You get it? But there are some people that sin and they don't reject that way. They say, my God, that experience with the breast was good. So he comes again and says, he's lost. Because he believes there's a gray area in the spirit realm. He doesn't know it is white and black. Everybody in gray has already taken sides with the devil. Just with time, it will manifest. Don't stay on the gray. Tell your neighbor, don't stay on the gray. When the kingdom is white or black, it's an absolute, dogged, convicted part. This is where I want to remain. And I give no room to the devil. Because if you give room to the devil, he will soon go on another tangent. Are you still with me? Okay. Where are we now? Number what? Okay. Demons compel. Compel. It's aggressive, as if they want to move your hand. You say, we're sitting down, but you didn't know when you began, you lied. They compare. It's stronger. Anytime you see and you experience compulsion, you can bind the spirit and say, you spirit, I bind you. I've seen you. and rest comes instantly. Are you with me now? Demons enslave. An enslaved believer is one that is indulged in a particular sin, but he doesn't have the capacity to stop that sin, even though he doesn't like it. This is the kind of stuff that happens with people that are under the influence of masturbation. Doesn't like it, rises from it, heart is broken, feels filthy and unclean, doesn't feel right with God, then he prays, asks for mercy. He genuinely wants to be relieved from his yoke, but tomorrow again, he finds himself there. That is enslaving. In enslaving, I may need to digress to give you the scope and how to find deliverance in instances where you are enslaved. You must understand the law of sin, the law of death, what it feeds on, and you must understand the law of the spirit of life that is only resident in Christ. Are you still with me right now? Now, so we're going to just digress so that I can say that. Amen? Because many people hooked on masturbation have come to me and say, Pastor, I prayed, I fasted, I've done all kinds of stuff, I've received anointing, I've received prayer from different ministers. This thing is still here. That's the portrait of a man that is enslaved. But tonight, if you are enslaved, you'll be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when we begin to pray, demons will be expelled. Oh my God, my time is almost spent. Demons of diverse kinds will be expelled from this hall. I need to tell you something quickly. Okay, maybe we need to go to the book of Romans. Then I'll show you the law of sin. And no, don't turn. I'll just quote the scripture. But you can go and check it out yourself in your personal Bible study. You must understand what the devil feeds on when he enslaves a man. I've seen people before hooked up on cigarette, came to God, came to Christ, accepted Jesus, but could not stop smoking. They want to stop smoking, but they cannot stop smoking because there's a demon of indulgence that is at work, and even the resolve of their will is not strong enough with defense to decide another line of action for them. And you need to go supernatural, because it's only in the realm of the supernatural that you can find grace, and with grace you can go beyond the limits of enslavement and enjoy the savor of freedom and liberty. Are you still with me? In the book of Romans chapter 7, the Bible reveals strange laws. Chapter 7, chapter 8, I know these are scriptures that you know, but I just want us to look at it with more detail so that we can derive power, we can derive strength from them, and we can lean on them when we are harassed by the devil. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. All right, the Bible says, this is Paul speaking, and he was actually giving us an account of a personal experience that he had and the struggles that he had as a Christian. Paul said that the things that I do not want to do, I find myself doing them. Anybody had that experience here? You don't want to do some stuff, but you find yourself doing them. You don't want to get angry, and then you say, oh, after 3 days, my God, I've done so well, and on the fourth day, you get angry with machete and you are chasing somebody. Hallelujah. You want to stop lying, don't want to lie again. And then for 7 days, you find out that you were in control. And on the eighth day, you lie like a criminal. The Lord give you understanding. You know, the law that is revealed there is the law of death. The perspective of death being considered in that scripture is not this death that you know, it's paralysis. See, when a man's leg is paralyzed, it can no longer be coordinated by his brain. Okay? You get that? So it means the leg is dead with respect to the coordination of what? The brain. So it is death in that context that we consider. You want to stop doing it, but you are paralyzed. That's the law of death. When you want to stop, and you cannot stop, you are what? Paralyzed. That's the law of death. the law of sin. You don't want to do it, but you find yourself doing it. That's the law of sin. It's as if you have extra ability to do that which you don't want to do, but you don't have ability to do that which you should do. That's the law of sin and the law of what? Death. These are two laws. And Paul says that these two laws are operational in the flesh. Somebody say in the flesh. I need to explain what the flesh is. The flesh talks about the endowment that you have as a natural man, irrespective of the presence and the participation of the grace of God. So your will, flesh, your human power, flesh, your thought and wise thinking, flesh. Okay? Now, and the flesh is nothing when it is confronted with a situation that is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit. It falls flat. So the situation that Paul was revealing there was a situation that was orchestrated by spirit. And he saw that he was paralyzed. He could not do the will of God that he wanted so desperately to do. And he was perplexed. He could do that which he did not want to do. All of those laws are operational in the flesh. You get it? Now, the Bible says the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. The only way to go beyond the law of sin and death is to operate in the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ. So, Romans chapter 7, the broad theme of Romans chapter 7 is in the flesh. In the flesh is the presence of the law of sin, the law of death. Do you get that now? In Christ, Romans chapter 8, the broad heading is, in Christ, you have the operation of the law of the Spirit of life. All of Christianity is established on the foundation of the operation of the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ. Two things that I can use to illustrate. The law of sin and death is like the operation of gravity. It brings everything down. Brings everything down. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is like the operation of the law of lift. It takes everything up. Whereas sin and death brings down, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ takes up. It makes you do things that you cannot do naturally. By the impartation of the grace of God that is available by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? I said, did you get that? Now, so enslavement is a proof or a manifestation of the law of death. That's enslavement. You understand that? And enslavement can be in diverse directions. And the peculiar dimension of enslavement you experience is based on the appetite that you have explored. If you have explored drinking, you might find it difficult to stop. Explored smoking, explored sex, explored all kinds of stuff, pornography, you want to stop, you cannot stop. Once it's 10 o'clock in the night, you scroll your phone to outlawed websites and feeding your eyes with all kinds of stuff. When you are done, your spirit is lean and hungry. You try to find God, you don't find Him. It's only when you come to a fellowship like this and the anointing breaks out, you feel some ventilation. But you don't seem to have the ability to stop. It is a revelation of the fact that you are enslaved. And demons enslave people. Are you here? I say, are you here? If it is pornography, you will do some natural things too to stop it. You have all kinds of pornographic CDs in your house. After this message, just go there, get them, and be praying in tongues and breaking them. Makam, Baraka, Mwanta, Sapakamala, Ikamaya. You see that now? That's one thing. Hallelujah. That's your phone that can browse, that your hand normally touches some saved websites for ventilation and inoculation. Give the phone out and you know Nokia 3310. You are laughing. Do you still remember 33:10? It shows one yellow light that I'm still here. Even the battery of that one used to last. Go and look for 33:10 or Nokia touchlight. Remain there for a while. When you wake up by 10 and you touch touchlight, it's the touchlight that we're on. That's one. Do something the natural. Help yourself. And then let me tell you the spiritual side. You don't understand that you need to aggressively fight wars to destroy your destiny. You don't understand it. You have pornographic pictures in your room, but you want to stop fornication. You have to start by renovating the place. One guy had a big pornographic picture in his room. When we came, I said, bro, what is it? No, it's calendar. And the calendar is small. You need magnifying glass to see the numbers. But the pornographic picture is, friends, if you want calendar, come. We have some to give you. The numbers are big. You need microscope to check the date. Say it's calendar. It's not calendar. It's a picture. Do you understand that? And you do something deliberate. Many Christians are hooked up on all kinds of stuff. Give that phone out. On this level, you are not qualified for that phone yet. That's why all your problems are coming from there. It means I cannot manage this phone. I have BlackBerry. I've never browsed a pornographic site before. Never will, in the name of Jesus. But I browse Punch website, Punch, Guardian, and This Day. I know what is happening in my country. I know when to rebuke demons. Know when to swing into prayer when I see some things happening in my nation. Hallelujah. It means you can't use BlackBerry. So go and buy Nokia Touchlight. I'm serious. You will take a drastic action against that lust so that the lust will be straightened back to size. When you starve that spirit and when the thing comes upon you, you get to the place of prayer and say, Lord, I need your help. Because grace will never be made available for you except you ask. Whenever you are feeling helpless about it, cry for grace. The law of spirit of the spirit of life will be activated and you'll be born on eagle's wings. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the appetite will dry up and you will see that you can fly like a bird. Hallelujah. Sorry, my time is up. I have to stop. Where did we stop now? Number 6. Aya. Enslavement. If you add 4 plus 5, enslavement plus compulsion equals addiction. Enslavement plus compulsion equals what? Addiction. In order for somebody to be an addict, there's compulsion and enslavement. He's being compelled by 9:30 to browse pornographic site. And then he's also enslaved. He can't stop it. This law, the spirit of death. So two of them working together is what brings about an addiction. This night, we want to come against addictions this night. Now, see, if you lose the virtue of sincerity, you escape the grace that is coming. Open up like an open book. Are you still with me? Like an open book, I have this problem. I'm hooked up on pornography, and I don't want to go back the same. I'm beveled, crippled, twisted, tortured, bind. That addiction must break. It's an activity of demons. Now, for this time out, we are going to stop. I'll finish up tomorrow. But we'll continue next month because there are other areas. We have not finished this. We also need to give us the accurate prescribed state of a normal Christian. There's a state. There's there's what we call a normal state of a Christian. All right? We also need to indicate that the symptoms that indicate that you are okay, you are all right, you are healthy, all the spiritual tests you have passed, you can get back to the field of ministry, get back to your preaching engagement, get back to crusading. Means you have been discharged from the intensive care unit. There are also signs to show that. But we have not gotten there. And we have not gotten into areas that demons control. We have not gotten there. We have not gotten into how demons enter. And we have not gotten to how to be delivered of demons and how to deliver people from demons. We have not gotten into how to keep your deliverance. It's so long. But we'll stop here today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can we rise and pray? What I need is just 15 more minutes for us to expel demons. We need to expel some demons now. It's time to expel some demons for some people. Now, this is what we want to do tonight. Amen. Now, touch Daddy for me. You said you will bring somebody. Is the person here? The person is not here. Right. I'll still wait for the person tomorrow. I came prepared for the person today. But just see what you can do. If the person can come tomorrow, okay? Person is around. All right, no problem. We are going to attend to that person. Doesn't matter what the devil has done in that life. We trust God for liberty in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, what we want to begin to deal with now are addictions. Addictions, when you are compelled and enslaved at the same time. I don't know about you in the practice, in your practice of ministry and experience on the field of counseling, you find many Christians hooked up on strange addictions. We go a lot to many campuses and meet Christians of all sorts, of all kinds, from different denominations. But you see, the problem is one problem. So many addictions have tied our people down. Hallelujah. Right now, you can be free from any addiction. Pornography. You are caught up in sexual immorality. You're trying to stop, you cannot stop. Lust will enter your heart. You harbor it instead of expelling it. Harbor it and say, well, makes me feel good. Tied down by masturbation and the likes. I know a senior minister in Nigeria that said masturbation is not a sin. Those kind of people should be shut up. Those kind of guys should be shut up. You cannot seek the mercy of God outside of the covenant. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? A man that has not accepted his wrong cannot access the mercy of God. The mercy of God is not accessed in rebellion. It's accessed in the atmosphere of repentance. That is an evil spirit that spoke there to create licentiousness and lasciviousness in the body of Christ. May God put an end to the rising of that kind of error in the body of Christ. On the internet, you know what I'm talking about? On the internet, that's high level. The ministry that he was ordained, they should remove his collar and take back his certificate. A minister went on CNN and they asked, is Jesus the only way to salvation? He said, he doesn't know. His license and collar should be withdrawn. The person that ordained him must call him back and take his license. From that day, license has expired. No man speaking by the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is accursed. The way to salvation is one. If you can't defend it, you have failed to be a preacher. I don't listen to those kind of preachers. I don't. Because I want to go to heaven. I don't know about you. I don't know what you are doing here. I want to make it. Fake people talking all kinds of things. The fact that someone has a large platform and does miracles doesn't mean in the current time, he's still acknowledged in heaven as a minister. That's a departure from what you came to defend in your corner. On the internet, even if it was in the auditorium like this, at a priest, it would have been better. On the internet to the world, you cannot access the mercy of God outside of the covenant. It's not possible. And the people held under the clutches of this thing, when they wake up, their heart is broken. They know they have sin. It's demonic. Then you come up. I don't know. Ministers, let's pray. Let's pray. Pray for us. Pray. Please, I want the congregation to pray for us. That when we have gained influence in the body of Christ, we will not become charlatans. We will not become fake. Please, cry. That demons will not possess our heart. That money will not be the focus, the reason why we are in ministry. We'll not do it for money. We'll not sell our gifts. We'll not trade with our endowments. Spirit of the last days are at work. Spirit of the Antichrist. We reject that spirit. We reject that spirit. We reject it. We reject it in the name of Jesus. Receive your grace to be true, to be consistent, to be full of devotion, to be willing to serve your will. We will not give voice to the doctrine of demons. Who will be fearless men of faith that will draw the battle line like Elijah, bring deliverance to an entire nation, men that cannot be bought with money, men whose conviction is beyond price. It's easy to be devoted to God when there's some form of corruption. Many people reject God in the days of prosperity. We will not be such. We will not be such. You will not be such. I will not be such. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. So many strange things happening in the body of Christ. The average Christian does not know God, does not know the values of God. Because a big minister misuses his office and the grace to serve God on a territorial level as a principality. It will not be. If you give us half a chance, Father, half a chance, we will not fail you. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Please, I'd like you to raise up that area of struggle to God right now. Is it prayerlessness? You can do everything, but when you want to pray, just begin to yawn and sleep. You are enslaved, imprisoned, tied, twisted. Cry. What is the object of your paralysis? More than always, you are.
Jesus. You're the light of the world, Jesus. You're the hope of creation, Jesus. More than always, you are. Jesus, you're the light of the world, Jesus. You're the hope of creation, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're the light of the world, Jesus. You're the hope of creation, Jesus. More than always, you are.
I pray number seven.
Jesus, you're the light of the world, Jesus. You're the hope of creation, Jesus. More than always, you are.
Put it on the altar. Put that addiction on the altar. Put that weakness on the altar. Let the grace of God take you over. Let the law of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ, be set in motion. You are coming out of that hole. You are coming out of that hole in the name of Jesus Christ. Cry to Him right now. Let the yoke of masturbation be broken. Yoke of pornography. Let the lying spirit upon your tongue lose its grip. Sikababadon sekabarakamata. Rasakabakasemakandebregadela bakuria masalaba. Sekabobodanamasakabrakalababore makad. You want to say, Lord, purify me the more. My tongue, my thoughts, my lips, my body, my heart, purify me. Because I'm from Mount Zion, there shall be holiness. Purify me. Purify me. Purify me. Purify me. Shako berana nama shaka da baba. Shabranta bakaranta barapa skala baba. Rampa ranta skaba rata danta la baboria. Shabria na kaska toma lata blaga batala. Shamarata blaka la barata diana baba shana mara. Marasata, marasata. Ante bregedela bakuria masaka balante bregeda. Sabos kamarata prasabala. We give you glory.
We give you all the glory. We worship you, Abba. You are worthy to be praised.
Sing, we give you all the praise.
We give you all the glory.
Then we give you all the praise and the glory. Sing, we give you all the praise, we give you all. We worship you. We worship you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. La 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 la
Sing with all your might. We give you all the praise. Oh yes, now with all the strength in your body. Whoa. One more time, we give you all the praise. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Sing it out. Yeah. 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 Yes. We give you all the prayer. Yeah, come on, the ball. We worship you. Oh yes, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the praise. Oh. We give you all the praise and the glory. One more time, we give you all the praise.
Your prayer life back right now. You are Father and Omega. You can take your fasting life back right now. We give you all the prayer.
Back. Take it back. Take it back right now. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back. To be brave. Jesus, take it back. Take it back. Take it back now. Take it back. It's yours in the name of Jesus. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back from the enemy. Devil, we'll take you back. Take it back right now. Right now. Right now. Everything that the devil has stolen. From the enemy, take it from the kingdom of God. Sakala lava, Ayla malava sakala. Sabela nebo sinama. For the last time, let's go to the camp of the enemy. The took your heart, took your prosperity, brought darkness into your family. Take everything back. Cry out and take it back. Take it back, take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Take it, take it, take it. Take it, take it, take it. It's your time. So many things are breaking loose by their own self, of their own accord. Kobale, 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 Kobale. Do not let any member of your family escape, because I see the raft is open. Ancient gate has bowed. It is yours. 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 Oh, yes, one more time. Reach out into the heavens. Everything he took is turned over to you. In the name of Jesus. If people died untimely in your family, that ends tonight. When long life will I satisfy you, and I will show you my salvation. It's your time. The things that you take tonight will never be taken away from you. I see. Listen to me. 7 princes shall rise from this house. 7. Give me music. Let me rejoice in God. Contend with it. He shines the light upon your face. You will no longer be hidden in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a strong nation. Though thy beginning be small, thy later end shall greatly increase. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that which you have wrought tonight. Oh my God. The demons go of their own accord. Darkness takes it, leave. Liberty is yours in the name of Jesus. Oh.
Listen to me.
If you are here and you are struggling to graduate, I have news for you. Lord, open my eyes and I saw. Nobody can hold you back anymore. You are going. You are going. If the devil came and messed up your family, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. For the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Rejoice, rejoice tonight, rejoice. The spell upon men will break, and they'll come back to their right mind. Rejoice, rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. The lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed. He has prevailed. He has prevailed. Rejoice. 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 Rejoice, 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 rejoice for the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. Yes, prevailed. Yes, prevailed. In the name of Jesus.
Maybe you have someone in your family that has resisted salvation. It's a philosopher. Every time you bring the gospel, the person has a mental perspective to it. Rejoice. Strange conversions, strange repentance, strange things will happen. The yoke and the bondage of sin is broken. Name of Jesus. Listen to me. There are several people here that have lost their gift. You don't need to pray for it anymore. You will see it in manifestation. You are by commission to do the works of Jesus, to cast out devils. Don't say I don't look like it. No. The empowerment of the Lord comes upon you. You will find yourself speaking like an oracle. Spirits guided missiles coming out. Grace untold in manifestation. This is the time, and God has decided to have favor. He has decided to have favor. Oh God. Decided to have faith. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. The armies of the aliens will flee before thy face. You will quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, stop the mouth of lions. A gift will come upon you, as I hear in the spirit. Gift of faith. You will not know fear under the influence of this gift. He will be called a man of rugged faith. A man that can move and walk in the fire. People under the influence of demons will cry out at the mere sight of your countenance. Lift your hands and receive. I feel something strange here tonight. Antabalano. Isadebre na kabuska penali. Maros ila fredemo. Sabalante polaba. Sakemande sukla brekamanta. Ekabarantos abademina. Shabalekaba. As you go, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. Abesani kabaria masalebo. Mekapateza lekabarata. Rikapata masakabata. Ah! The Lord says, behold, I do a new thing. And it shall spring forth. Merakampesete boroko. Ingramante sabuda makadeba. Makabeso tebra matelai. Epata is a fear not. And do not be afraid. For I am with you always. Even unto the end of time. Oh, la 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 la. Sailamanaya la la la. sit down if you have a seat for the next 2 minutes. Let the offering basket go round. It's a new day. The Lord Himself commissions you to be His representative in your world. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. If you can cast out devils, then you can raise the dead. In casting out devils, you tell the demons to go. Raising the dead, you tell the spirit to come. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Cast the seed to the Lord before you leave. Tomorrow we are going to have a high service. It's a service of prayer, prophecy, and deliverance. Preaching will be for 30 minutes. And we'll glide on the highways of God. Bible says it's the spirit that quickens. Flesh profits nothing. That day has come. Now is that time. God wants to empower ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Do not exclude yourself from the number and say, I don't qualify. My past was bad. That's not what we're talking about right now. There's a new information coming from heaven. God is set to walk with you. Hallelujah. Come. God is set to walk with you. His hand will be strong upon your life. Do not resist Him when He comes. When His Spirit draws close in order to stir you to prayer, do not quench Him. Mighty move of God like a hurricane on your inside. As you yield to the stirrings of God, He will take you from one place in the Spirit to another. And He will show you great, mighty things which you do not know. Hallelujah. You will know His way. Yes, He comes to you. You called Him. You say He should come. You say He should come. Called Him. And I heard your cry, and He said, move out. And the Spirit of God quickened me and made me hear her prayer. It was loud in my ear. You called Him. Let the fountain, the arena of the angelic be open to you. May God cause you to learn a new language. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, you will hear angels speak in a new tongue. Receive the grace of the Lord. My name is Masayena. Sometimes we need to. That's why in eternity the first thing that God binds is time. It's an affliction. He binds it up. When it's time to fly, then the time is up. Oh my God. One day we'll come here and we'll not go back. Go back the next night. Don't worry, we'll give you tea to drink with bread so that you won't fall on the way. But you'll be a new man in the name of Jesus. Be careful for nothing. All those things you are worried about. And what if I don't have supply? Trust God. He will reach out to you, show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He said, when we are past the 6 months, then I will bring the light of deliverance unto my people. 6 months were terrible. Bombs everywhere. But watch out. You will begin to see the finger of God from the 7th month. Thank God you are alive now. We are not sure of who we fall on, who we stand, but you are here. It means God still has a plan for you. Now go home and strengthen your baskets and your warehouse. Because the great one will visit.
He will bind his enemies with fetters of iron. Bind kings with chains. And he will come with triumph upon his white horse to bring salvation unto his people. In the seventh month, we shall begin to see the finger of God. And the necromancers and magicians and astrologers of darkness will testify, this is the finger of God. And friends, I have good news for you. Nigeria shall be saved again. Nigeria shall be saved. Don't weep again. With the seventh month, deliverance will begin to come steadily. 4 times in this month, I've seen the gates of Africa open. Anytime I go hard, I see the black continent being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That we will not die. We will not die. We will not die. No. It's too late. It's not time to die. It's time to wake up. It's time to cry. It's time to spare yourself like a woman in travail. Because the best day is about to come. Africa shall be saved. People will leave this land inoculated by the Holy Ghost. And from one city to another city. From one land to another land. From one nation to another nation. They will be kindling the candlelights of many people and many nations. Friends, it is beyond what you have desired. It is an agenda of the Great One. And so as you step out, don't be afraid to cast out devils. Sanitize your household and proclaim deliverance. Take the words of these glad tidings to your household. Send a word of notice to the devil. Hitherto have you gone and no further. Hallelujah. Stand up. I want to release a prophecy that will resound in the land, resound in the city. That the cry of the king has arisen in the midst of God's people. A star has arisen. You never knew while we were basking in the spirit, things were being created, formulated. Chemicals were being mixed to produce. If you didn't bow up before, don't go again. It's late. It's time for miracles now. Don't go now. Don't be discouraged now. It's too late to go. The glory, fire, and the light is here. And thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her. Yeah, they said time is come. We speak your glory and your rising unto the four corners of this city, the four corners of this state. We command that our gates be sanctified in righteousness. Let our walls be called peace. Let the sons of strangers be blocked on their way here and let them turn backward. We proclaim the power of the Lord, the light, the one that dwelleth in the midst of the cherubims, that he guard his people. He insulates them from darkness. Let the rod of Assyrian not come upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, 10,000 by thy side, but nothing shall come near thy dwelling place. I feel something back, boiling. To hell with the devil. Arise, shine, because your light is come. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.